Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives.
It is Friday, the 4th of December, 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksin, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Pacific Theatre presents another live radio show for their Christmas entertainment. This time around, it's Dickens' A Christmas Carol. We'll meet some of the cast and find out how they make it sound like you're walking in the snow. And we'll talk to Will Woods from Forbidden Vancouver about War for the Holidays, a recreation of a Christmas house party from 100 years ago. We'll also have a preview of Shindig Week 8. CITR's annual showcase of new local bands, plus our usual rundown of what to see and what to do this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, it's all Christmassy here in the old student nest. The AMS has got a big setup in the middle of the atrium here. They've got a backdrop and photography. Last week it was ugly Christmas sweater photos. This time around it looks like awkward family photos. There's a hot chocolate to be distributed as well. And I think they're also making gingerbread houses. So if you're looking for something to do for your lunch hour, head on down to the sub here and get your photo took. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk to Will Woods about War for the Holidays.
I can feel the curtains coming down. Soon enough, we'll all be taking a bow. Destination was always the same, babe. I feel the heat and it keeps me warm. These days it seem to linger on. Soon enough we'll all be on our own. Just like a penny of voodoo doll, acting like it was nothing at all. Not no. Just stay across the bay. Well,
If you ask me, it's just splitting hairs. So put your hand on your good old book, baby. Lay down the secrets and I'll be a witness. Long.
All right, now we have got Will Woods on the phone. Hi, Will.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing much better now, thanks. We spent the last 10 minutes trying to sort through the very confusing phone system we got here, but we got you on now, so that's great.
All right.
So I'll just do a quick little introduction, letting people know who you are. Will is from Forbidden Vancouver, which is a historical organization in Vancouver that does walking tours and special events all about some of the really rich stuff about Vancouver. Some of the stuff they have going on this year, including a tour of some of the Prohibition, the spots that were hot during Prohibition in Vancouver, as well as a thing called the Lost Soul of Gastown. But what we want to talk about today is a very special event that's happening for Christmas, War for the Holiday. So, Will, tell us all about that.
Well, this came about a year ago when I was reflecting, like I think many people have been recently, about the 100-year anniversary of the start of the First World War. And, you see this imagery of, battlefields and trenches and all the terrible goings on there. And, of course, all Forbidden Vancouver's work, all my work, is about Vancouver. And we're a long way away from the Western Front here. And so I started to think about, well, what was it like in Vancouver during the First World War? What were people doing? What were they talking about? Apart from the young men who went to fight, what about the people who were left behind? So this was happening in parallel as I was sort of ruminating on this and reading with one of our team, Tiffany Anderson, who is a playwright. She won the Now Playwriting Award last year in Vancouver. Yeah. And it was a kind of perfect storm. And we thought, well, let's work together. Let's create a play. Much of our work does have a large dose of theatre to it. If any of your listeners have been on the Lost Souls of Gastown, they'll know that's a piece of one person theatre. So I thought, well, it's time for us to have some dialogue in there and have a more, I guess, traditional in some ways theatre piece. And
sense that you've got an audience and actors, and the audience is watching the actors. But there's a little more to it than that.
That's true. That's true, Dave. Yeah. So it's traditional in the sense that we've got multiple actors, we've got dialogue, we've got, the plot line and narrative that you expect from any theatre piece. But our work does not take place in theatres. It takes place in the places where Vancouver's history happened. So the Lost Souls of Gastown, well, that's in Gastown, where the Great Fire was and where smallpox outbreaks were and all that stuff. So War for the Holidays, we were thinking, well, let's put it in a venue that, to the greatest extent possible, still matches how it would have looked during World War One. So there was a couple of candidates, but not really that many. I mean, Highcroft is one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well-known mansion house in Shaughnessy. But the best example in the city is the Rodie House in the West End, which is owned by the city. It's been fabulously restored. It's decorated inside to look exactly like it would have done around 100 years ago. So Tiffany and I went there, we looked around and thought, this is the place to stage this piece. And they've been great to work with, the Rodie House as well. They've been very helpful in helping us put it together. So the audience will be attending a family party, Christmas Eve 1915, with the Gregson family, in the Gregson family home. And they'll be moving around the building from room to room as the drama unfolds in their Christmas party. And we've got plum pudding, we've got cocktails, we've got some parlor games, we've got
Does this involve audience participation as well? I mean, aside from eating the pudding and drinking the cocktails.
It's got a touch of audience participation,
yeah.
But it's not like a murder mystery, highly interactive in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's. We have broken down that wall that you get between a stage and an audience. That's for sure. You're in there mingling with the actors.
Right. So you're there almost as a guest in the house at Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. So who have you got playing the family?
Oh, we've got a fabulous cast. We've got Matthew Bissett is the father Harold, who is a veteran of the Boer War. His wife. Margaret is played by his partner Rebecca
Walters.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then we've got Brett Willis plays Chang, the Chinese houseboy, and houseboys were fairly common in those days. It was quite a prestigious job for Chinese residents of the city who had much greatly reduced work opportunities compared to white people who lived in the city.
Yeah.
And it was also somewhat prestigious for the family to have a Chinese houseboy. So we wanted to include, the fact that, like today, Vancouver was ethnically diverse 100
yeah.
years ago. The difference is that there was endemic racism in the city by effectively the white community to all non-white groups. And even within the white community, people of British origin were very very hostile towards Eastern Europeans, for example, people from the Mediterranean. So we wanted to try and as much as possible recreate this authentic 1915 party. We thought we have to tackle some of these issues in doing that.
Try
and reflect that in the piece.
Yeah.
So it's been great working with Brett, who's he's got a really interesting role as an actor, I think, to try and show dignity and humor, in being a servant in a family that are not necessarily very very kind towards.
Yeah. So he figures prominently in the story that's being told as well, then.
Yeah, he's part of the piece. Yeah,
yeah.
He's got his own story arc himself as well. That comes out as the piece progresses.
Yeah.
You'll hear about his own ambitions and story, and it's a kind of collective realization amongst the family as the piece goes on that this is actually a well-rounded human being with his own goals and desires and experiences. He's not just their servant. So that's one of the things that comes about as you witness the piece.
Wow, this sounds really really exciting. It sounds like a really interesting way to spend an evening. About how long of an evening would it be?
So it's about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on there's some variables there with how fast the audience moves around and how long it takes to drink the cocktails.
Yeah.
And you can't plan exactly for these things, but around an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Give or take. So, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
And when do you start? Starts next week?
Yeah, it starts Saturday. We've already sold out for Saturday and Sunday.
Wow, well done.
We've got space on our midweek dates. It's about 2/3 of the tickets have already moved. So if people want to come along, they should move fast because tickets are flying at the moment. I should also mention the two other actors in the piece.
Yes.
Caitlin McFarlane and Renee Miller, who play Gretchen, the daughter, who's a keen member of the suffrage movement, which does cause some discord with the rest of the family. And the glamorous daughter-in-law, Anna, played by Renee, who comes in and shakes things up.
Right. and her character is married to the son who is actually in Europe, in France, fighting in the war.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. So Michael, the son, is referenced heavily in the piece, but he's not there. He's off in France fighting for Canada, yeah.
Yeah. So that adds a little more tension to it as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So let's get some. Sounds like tickets are going quite well. So you got to get on it right away. So how do people book their tickets?
Yeah. Forbiddenvancouver.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big red book now button. Hit that. And
yeah.
You go through, and it's very straightforward. Put your credit card details in, your email, the ticket afterwards, and your name will be on the guest list.
All right.
Only 20 people per show. So
right.
It's a very intimate piece.
Yeah. So get on it right away. And there's a link on the Dave Radio Facebook page for it as well.
Fantastic.
So, thanks very much for taking some time and letting us know about it. And I hope it's a great success. It sounds like a really, really interesting piece for the holidays.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave.
Great.
And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You maniacs! You blew it up! God! Santa?
Oh, bro! Nothing like the salt air. Now, if you excuse me, I have a concert to attend.
On December 5th, Mint Records will be hosting this year's Ridiculously Early Xmas Party at the Astoria with performances by Rennie Wilson, Monomyth, Fake Tears, Energy Slime, Supermoon, Uptights, and a Faith Healer solo set. CITR Femme Concept DJs will be playing the hits all night long, and yes, there will be presents for the first 50 people. Visit mintrex.com for more details. Remember, it's this December 5th at the Astoria.
I'm back. Jeez. Okay. Let's see. What are we going to do here now? My goodness. It's one of those days. Of course, you know, I've been having one of those days for quite a few weeks in a row here, but we're having fun. Okay, so that was great, and we're just going to take another quick moment to tell you about something, and then we'll be right back with, we're going to talk about Christmas Carol. Yeah, that'll be great.
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
So, another Christmas thing that's coming up is at Pacific Theater at 12th and Granville, or 12th and Hemlock, and it's A Christmas Carol, and it's the live radio play version of it, and this is a project that, this is the second year in a row that Pacific has done this, where last year it was It's a Wonderful Life, where they performed it as a staged radio play. And so we went down to Pacific Theater earlier this week, and we met with some of the people involved, starting with Peter Church, who is the writer and kind of creative force behind it. And then we also spoke with Rick Calhoun, who is the sound designer, to tell us all about the all the great sound effects and stuff that's going on there.
All right. Let's start.
All right.
Okay, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Peter Church, and I have adapted A Christmas Carol as a radio play, and I'm in the cast as well.
Oh, terrific. So who do you play?
I am sort of a Charles Dickens character, the narrator, basically. Yeah. I share that with a madam and myself, yeah. The madam, I should say, not a not Dickens' madam. So we sort of narrate the action together.
Okay. Now, you've been doing radio plays for quite some time now. How did you get started with that?
I was lucky enough to grow up near a radio station that played 2 hours of old-time radio plays every night, 7 days a week, yeah. 24 hours on Christmas Day. And so I even, you know, before, by the time I was 10, 11, they were from 11 p.m. till 1. So I'd like people did in the 40s, I'd sneak a radio, you know, into my room and stay up past my bedtime and listen to Gunsmoke and The Shadow and Inner Sanctum. Mm-hmm. And all the old shows. And then by the time I was a teenager, my dad and I would listen to them on the radio together, and it became sort of a shared thing with the two of us. Yeah. And right away, it captured my imagination so much that I just couldn't stop. And then now, when I moved, I kind of lost that. And but then the
we'll get to you next.
That's right. Just because they're sound guys doesn't mean they're sound guys. So with the internet age, having access to podcasts suddenly opened all that up to me again.
Mm-hmm. So, but what is it about doing radio drama as opposed to live theater or other forms of drama that appeals to you?
Well, like I said, it captures the imagination.
Yeah.
I think that's I worked for a decade with a Shakespearean repertory company as well, and there's a lot of similarities in that it is so much about the inviting the audience to co-create with you, mm-hmm. And I think that's what's most exciting is that it doesn't force feed your imagination. It actually allows the audience to actively participate in the storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. And doing it in front of a live audience too, that's got to add an element.
It does. I mean, it's thrilling because, of course, you've got the creativity, you're sharing that with the audience, but also there's the nostalgia of it. I think mm-hmm. that the iconic microphones, the guys in fedoras with their scripts, and it adds a kind of, it's the missing piece, really. I think that's one of the things that's too bad with modern audio drama. Is that even the old shows, even the most serious or suspenseful shows, often did have live audiences. And that was, mm-hmm. because it was the principal form of entertainment, that was one of the ingredients, was that you'd have people in the studio creating the atmosphere of creativity and imagination mm-hmm. and suspense, and that's their part of it.
And for the people that are in the audience watching it, there's kind of like a couple of layers going on, because you're sort of watching a show about a show being recorded and performed at the same time.
Yeah, it is one of those sort of plays within a play, in that we come in as actors, playing actors in the 40s, putting on A Christmas Carol in a radio studio for the radio listeners. So it is, and it's tough to sell. It's tough to sort of describe to people exactly how that works. But it is, we are setting A Christmas Carol in a 1940s radio studio.
Yeah, so you've got the sort of the commercials and the music of the 40s, as well as going back to the... All right, now we are joined by...
Rick Calhoun. I'm the sound designer for Christmas Carol this year. Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk first of all about some of the items that are on the table and what they're used for. I mean, it looks like a setup at a thrift store. You know, we've got pop bottles and old shoes and some musical toys and drinking glasses and stuff. So, what have you got there?
Well, here, what do you think this sounds like? We're outside. It's cold. Yeah.
It's like walking in the snow.
Walking in the snow.
Yeah.
And then.
And what are you using to make that sound?
That is cornstarch in a little plastic bag inside a leather pouch.
Wow.
And you go inside and warm up by the fire.
And it's just paper and cellophane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on in out of the cornstarch and warm yourself by the cellophane.
Exactly. And as time goes by, right while you're sitting by the fire.
And that's just a metronome.
That's just a metronome.
Yeah.
Which, it was funny, we were in our production meeting, and we're like, can we need a ticking clock? I'm like, oh, that's easy, we'll get a metronome. And they're like, well, yeah, but how are you going to get it to the right? I'm like, you put it to 60 beats per second. Just, oh, right.
Oh, okay, yeah. And it's fun having all this stuff because it really adds to the theatricality, too. It's great for the live audience to see all this stuff happening.
That was the idea. It was, it's a radio show, but we have a live audience, and a lot of the fun of it is the business of the busyness of the Foley artist doing his work. So we have this old metal chest here. We've got chains because it's Scrooge.
Right. So there's Jacob Marley walking through the house.
Doubles as a sort of a metal door slamming. Ooh, there's a little bit of...
That's ominous.
And so we have all different
the
doors.
Wooden door,
classic.
And then I just wanted to walk over to this piece here while we're talking about Marley, because it's like an old coffee can with a spring hanging out of the bottom of it.
Yeah, with a spring and a bit of a tensioned head at the bottom. Yeah. So we can do Marley. You get some reverb off it.
Wow.
But we also use it for thunder. Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ancient and funny how simple it is, but it's really useful.
Yeah.
Where did
you learn to do all this?
I don't know. You just said you pick up useful. I was going to say useless knowledge.
Yeah.
It's debatable.
Yeah.
Well, in last year I really got inspired to read up and learn a lot about it when I met Peter, and I found out he was such an expert and so passionate about radio storytelling, and I started doing a lot of reading myself, and I had done some work in recording studios when I was younger and got to watch shows Foley to picture, so old reels of tape being bushes and lots of the Foley pits and things.
Yeah, because this is an important part of the film industry too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Film and TV, anything other than dialogue, it's pretty much been added in after. There's very, very, very little wild sound that they wind up using. So any show or movie you're watching, this is a very rudimentary version of it, but this is what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think. We've got our wind machine.
Oh yeah, it's like a barrel with a piece of cloth draped over the top.
Yeah, it's
got
canvas and open wooden slats.
Mm-hmm.
And then actors will augment as well, and they'll just go along with it, going. Really adds to it. Superman flying.
Oh, yeah.
But then off in the distance, Santa!
I'm trying to think of anything else here that's... We have a lot of useful things, like this is called a crash box.
Right.
It's just an old tin with, I forget what's in this one, it's just nails and broken glass and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it can be anything. It can just be rustling. It can be putting things down. We use it a lot, like, just it's a sharp sound that, you know, denotes anything, something falling over or something. We have a bunch of different ones, so we can make it take a long time. Or we have, these are our church bells.
Okay.
This morning, they're just steel pipes that are tuned, mm-hmm. cut to length.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, a lot of sounds aren't what you think they are.
Yeah.
They're not so literal. So, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen the footage of people, you know, breaking celery to simulate breaking bones and.
Well, let's go. Literal. Let's go back to where we started, because you've been working on this all morning. And this is quite an elaborate rigging, because we've got sort of a box with a piece of doweling round like a broom handle, sort of in the middle of it. And is it rope that's strapped around?
Yeah, this is our it's a creek box. And then there's the different speeds. So
for 30 years, there has been one voice in the local Vancouver art scene that has stood above the rest, and that's Discorder, that conspiracy, punk rock, foxcore, sassy, still publishing magazine from CITR. We're one of the established and trusted voices of Vancouver's music and arts culture in the Lower Mainland, with 8,000 copies distributed monthly to over 135 distribution locations, from the Lido to Zulu Records.
Discorder is one of a few magazines published by a community radio station, and we only serve up the freshest local and Canadian goods.
We have interviews with artists, album reviews, live show reviews, and articles about everything important to our crazy, unique, varied, and amazing culture in Vancouver and across the country.
Pick up your free copy of Discorder today, or sign up to have it delivered to your door wherever you are.
Check out our website for distribution locations and all the information about advertising and getting involved.
I don't know why things cut out before they're supposed to end. That's a weird, weird thing about this setup. Anyway, let's take a look now and see what's going on around town on the stage. As you heard, Christmas Carol on the air going on at Pacific Theater. They open tonight at 12th and Hemlock, and shows tonight, and there's two shows tomorrow. At the Queen Elizabeth Theater, All is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914. This is a fully staged musical and theatrical production with Choir Leone, providing music of the time and professional actors telling the story of the great Christmas truce in the trenches in France in 1914. At the York Theatre on Commercial Drive, it's the annual East Van Panto. This year they're doing Hansel and Gretel, complete with gingerbread house, butt-kicking brother and sister team, and a cute little cannibal witch. Also in the Commercial Drive area at the Culch at Venables and Victoria, Daisy Theatre, Ronnie Burkett and his amazing puppets and marionettes, over 40 different characters providing a crazy, crazy show there. Langara College Studio 58 is doing their Risky Nights series. This is what students at the end of their second year, they create an original theater piece with a professional director and perform it for an intimate audience. And that's going on tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday afternoon at Studio 58 at Langara College. At the Fox Cabaret, another Studio 58 presentation. This is a co-production with the Electric Company. It's called Flea, and it's a darkly humorous and Kafkaesque tale blending theater, live music, and video projection. For the kiddies out there, the Carousel Theater is doing James and the Giant Peach. This was a very successful show last year, and they brought it back for a week or so this year based on the book by Roald Dahl, featuring friends of the show Patty Allen, Andrew Cowden, Deb Williams, and Jonathan Winsby. And that's happening at the Waterfront Theater on Granville Island. Also on Granville Island at Performance Works, Arts Umbrella is presenting their Winter Shorts Festival, and this is a showcase of the work of the year-long theater and music program. The Fire Hall Theater is continuing with Social Studies. This is their comedy about a South Sudanese lost boy adopted by a well-intentioned family, yielding hilarious results when it takes on Canadian values and cultural differences. At the Oddfellows Lodge at 8th and Granville, Fighting Chance Productions is doing Murder Ballad, a new musical. They've got two shows nightly at 7 and 9:30. I guess it's a short show. Back on Granville Island at Studio 1398, Peter and Chris and the Kinda OK Corral. This is an award-winning sketch comedy troupe with a brand new Wild West adventure for ya. At the Pal Studio Theater in Cole Harbour, Theater Outre, which is I forget now where they're from. I think they're from Britain. But they are relocated to Vancouver, and they are presenting, along with the Frank Theater Company, a show about two boy players during Shakespeare's time who will do anything for the role of Lady Macbeth. And it's a cheeky comedy drama. You want to check that out. In North Vancouver at Presentation House, another Christmas show called Mrs. Claus's Kitchen, holiday musical for the whole family. At the Havana on Commercial Drive, Kinky Fish and Cher Productions doing How Much Are Those Feelings in the Window? This is a romantic dark comedy with four characters from different nationalities struggling to balance the cost of love in Vancouver. Christmas show at the Bernie Legg Theater in New Westminster, Vagabond Players doing Inspecting Carol. This is about this is one of these mistaken identity shows about a man who asked to audition for a small theater and is mistaken for an informer for the National Endowment for the Arts. And so everyone thinks they have to impress him. It's very silly. A lot of fun. Vagabond Theater in New Westminster. For you opera fans, at the Cambrian Hall, Opera Pro Cantati is doing Verdi's Nabucco. And that's Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Cambrian Hall, which is at 17th and Main. And at the Rio, more great burlesque. This time it's The Nightmare Before the Nutcracker, a very Burton Christmas show. It's featuring characters from both The Nutcracker and your favorite Tim Burton films. And that's at tonight and tomorrow night at the Rio. The midnight show at the Rio is 7 with Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt asking the musical question, what's in the box? And then Sunday afternoon, a benefit to raise money for the legal challenge against the Enbridge North Gateway Pipeline. And it's Haida Gwaii on the edge of the world. And that's at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And that's followed at 7 o'clock by the East Van Short Film Showcase. Always worth checking out there. And one last thing at the Vivo Media Arts Center at Caslow and 10th, Cashing Up with Tomorrow. This is a benefit to support the digitizing of the extensive archives of Vancouver's notorious Lenore Herb. She was a video and visual artist who produced some really groundbreaking stuff in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Music by the Judies, Jerry Hanna, The New Questioning Coyote Brigade, I, Brain Eater, Banff, and The Return of AKA after a 34-year hiatus, and The Salvos. Unless you're like in your 50s, none of those names will mean anything to you. But it's definitely worth checking out. So go and have a good time and enjoy it. All right. What are we going to do now? Well, we got still got a little bit of time. Let's do the shindig. Let's do the shindig. Yes, shindig is the annual local music showcase that CITR produces this year. It's at Pat's Pub on Hastings Street, Hastings and Dunleavy. Every Tuesday night, you get in. It's super cheap. I think it's like $6 to get in, and you get to see some really great local bands. Sometimes their first time on stage. And so the bands playing this week are At Sea, Speranza, and this is Francesca Belcour.
Thank you. what my vice is, precisely what advice can I receive from my friends and enemies to put a flawless thought at ease. Please be in agreement that we don't have no meaning. We're turning, we are yearning for a sense of meaning, but there is no
and it just cut out again. This is weird. This is just weird. It's not supposed to do that. All right. So that is that was Speranza. And we also heard At Sea, and we also heard Francesca Belcour, and they are going to be playing on Tuesday night at week 8 of Shindig at Pat's Pub at Hastings and Dunleavy. Now it's time for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for all roles. Fighting Chance Productions is doing two shows in repertory this summer, American Idiot and Heather's the Musical, and that's going to be happening in August. The auditions are today at the Waterfront Theater on Granville Island. Let's see, Theater in the Country, The Importance of Being Earnest, and that's going to be happening in Maple Ridge in February. The auditions are tomorrow, looking for 5 men and 4 women, English accents required. Opera Opulenza is doing Offenbach's Le Comte de Hoffmann, or The Tales of Hoffmann, and that is going to be happening mid to late 2016. Auditions are December 6th and January 10th. And they're looking for male principal and crumb primarial roles and all voices for the chorus. And that's operaopulenza@gmail.com. North Vancouver Community Players, Two Rooms by Lee Blessing, directed by Stephen Torrance. That's happening in April at Hendry Hall in North Van. Auditions are this weekend. Two women and two men are required. And this is going to be their festival show for Theatre BC. So they'll be doing the North Shore Zone in May. And then if they succeed at that, they'll also take it to main stage in July. So be prepared to be available for all those dates. North Shore Light Opera doing The Meadow Merry Widow by Franz Lehr, and that's going to be up in May, and auditions are this weekend, also on the 16th and January 10th. Our good friend Ronan Wong is doing a ukulele Christmas workshop on Wednesday night at 7 till 8:30 at St. James Community Square, which is at 3214 West 10th Avenue, 10th and Trutch. You can learn a variety of strums and finger-picking styles to add life to your songs. Sign up, send an email to Ronan, R-O-N-I-N, at goherp, G-O-P-H-E-R-P.com. Metro Theater, Towards Zero by Agatha Christie, directed by Paul Klogman. This is a Miss Marple mystery happening in May, and the auditions are next week, December 13th and 14th at Metro Theater. And you still have a couple of days left to submit for New World Theater's call for submissions from self-identified artists of color. They're looking to hold a general audition, a meet and greet, and or show and tell for self-identified artists of color. It's happening on December 14th at Progress Lab, they want artists of all disciplines. So whatever it is that you happen to do that is in an artistic or expressive form, let them know about it. Send your email your headshot and resume to Genevieve at New World Theater. Monday, December 7th is the deadline for that, and just go to newworldtheater.com to find out more. And with an E Productions, Giggles and Gags sketch comedy variety show directed by friend of the show, Leanne Kuzminski. And that's going to be happening in April. The auditions are in a couple of weeks, and they're looking for one male between 25 and 40 who is a versatile comedic actor who can play a variety of characters. And finally, Bonnie and Clyde the Musical, a production of Play on Words Productions. It's going to be happening at the Havana in April, and their auditions are in January. Send a headshot and resume to Play on Words pro@gmail.com. If you want details on these or any other productions and audition notices, go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have any notice that you'd like read on the air, share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email us at Dave Radio Podcast at hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Our shout out this week goes to friend of the show, Bob Fraser, who's been laid up in hospital after an emergency appendectomy. Get well soon, Bob. And also to TV's Todd Talbot, who heroically stepped into Bob's shoes to cover the role of George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life at the Granville Island stage until Bob is ready to return. Yes, the show must go on. No Thunderbird sports this weekend. They're taking the month off, but we'll return with hockey in January. And big congratulations to Mike O'Connor and all the football T-Birds for winning the Vanier Cup in a nail biter in Quebec City last week. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send us your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show and want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archives at CITR.ca. Stick around. Eleanor and Erica are here, and it looks like they've got some musicians set up in the lounge. So live music coming up on Femme Concept. And don't forget Napkin Boy. He'd hate it if you did. Nardwuar the Human Serviette presents at 3:30. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
All right. Good afternoon. You are tuned in now to Femme Concept here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territories at the University of British Columbia. I'm Eleanor.
I'm Erica.
We got a special thing happening here
today.
We're
so stoked.
So excited. Faith Healer is here, and she is performing a set live on air for us, along with Renee Wilson.
On the drums. All right, so take it away, Faith Healer.
It's a tune called Cosmic Troubles. I left my instinct because of cosmic troubles. I was out of my mind. This is my very first time in Vancouver, so it's a nice place. I thought it would be different in a bad way, but it's actually really nice. I'm sorry for having that notion. I don't really know why I did. I just thought it would be... I'm not even going to talk about it. We're going to do another tune. This one's called Acid. One, two, three, four.